Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is a gospel lesson, our theme, the living waters of Pentecost. Sisters and brothers in Christ, when was the last time you were thirsty? I mean really thirsty. Thirsty down to your very soul. What about the kind of thirst that Jesus talks about in the gospel today? Do you thirst spiritually? Do you thirst for more out of life? The truth is, according to scriptures, that you and I and all humanity are spiritually thirsty, whether we realize it at first or not. We are bone dry and parched down to our very souls, like an arid, sand-blown desert. Like the psalm talks about the deer panting for living water. You know, that's a great image. That's what we're like. We're like that deer in a drought-stricken area, just panting, searching for that brook or that source of refreshment, searching and searching and searching because of its thirst. And far too often, we quench or try to quench our thirst with the wrong thing. Sometimes that even means using some of the good gifts of God in the wrong way to try to quench our thirst, to think that we can somehow quench it ourselves, that we can somehow achieve our own fulfillment by our efforts. We are like dry vessels in need of water. Ever since the fall of humankind into sin, we have become these broken, empty vessels. We used to be filled with the love and the grace and the very presence of God as Adam and Eve walked with God in friendship in the garden, and there was peace and harmony between God and the beginning of humanity and all the animal kingdom and the whole world. Everything was as it was supposed to be, with access to the tree of life. Ever since then, we've asserted our independence from God, thinking that we could find even greater fulfillment somehow than that, which doesn't make sense, really. That was paradise, and they wanted more. How can you want more? They wanted more on their own terms, Adam and Eve, and we've all inherited that nature, I'm afraid. By our own efforts and pursuits, we seek now to quench that awful thirst, because that's the irony, isn't it? We thought we could give ourselves more, and we ended up empty, needing God's Spirit again, His source of water. Ever since the fall from grace, we have tried all kinds of things to try to quench our thirst, all kinds of pursuits. I think the play that we saw a couple weeks ago was kind of about that, in a sense, you know, from a human way, that pursuit of always trying to reach the stars, to make a name for ourselves, like the Tower of Babel, to, you know, we have to keep on trying the next thing because we can never quite find the peace that we are searching for. Some seek to quench their thirst by the use of alcohol or other drugs, but that only leads to greater problems and greater emptiness. Other people think they can find true meaning in life by one romantic relationship after another outside of marriage, and then that leaves them empty as well. These fleeting pleasures leave people still thirsty, searching to fill their cup with more and more things. Millions and millions of us are duped by the commercials into thinking that just by buying the right thing or having the right car or the right house or so much money or the right whatever it is, then we'll be happy, we'll be popular, we'll find fulfillment. But it never works. There are others who seek to find fulfillment in more power, more prestige, greater popularity, greater achievements, but they have to keep on being addicted to trying to get more and more because it never fills them up. It's like that great song I heard a couple weeks ago in the U2. It was a hit. What a great song. He really understands Christian theology, Bono. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I keep searching. And yet he knows, he's got that, you know, he's a Christian. He says, you know, one of the verses of that song, Bono sings, you know, you took the cross and took all my shame away, and you know I believe. And yet, on this side of heaven, right, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm always pursuing. I'm always looking for that thing that will finally quench my thirst. All these things leave us not refreshed, withered, and dried out. Just as dangerous are the self-righteous religious people that Jesus had to deal with, and that we're still tempted to be sometimes. People who think they have it all together, and so they don't even thirst for more spiritually because they think they have it all. People who are trying to be as good as they've always been. People who don't want to rock the boat, always want to keep the status quo in their churches. People who don't want to take the risk to reach out to sinners because it might cost them time or energy or effort or money, especially if those sinners we're called to reach are really different than we are culturally or racially or whatever it might be. Remember, it was not the openly despised people of Jesus' day, the prostitutes and tax collectors and thieves and all the other outcasts that sent Jesus to the cross. They were the ones that were drawn to Jesus and Jesus accepted and hung out with. It was the good church people, the religious leaders who should have known better, who thought that they had it all together, that they were more righteous than everyone else, who insisted on clinging to their own traditions and their own self-righteousness. These are the ones who deceive themselves into thinking they could fill their lives up. They could quench their own spiritual thirst. And these are the ones who sent our Lord Jesus to the cross. I'm afraid we are all broken, empty vessels. As such, we start by simply confessing our sins, as we did earlier, confessing our spiritual dryness. We need to pray that God will quench our parched spirits and give us the forgiveness that we so need. We need to look away from ourselves and the ways of the world and pray to God to give us His Holy Spirit today. We need to pray, Lord, as I'm spiritually thirsty, let me look to no one else but to You. Let me look only to that life-giving water that You give in Your Son, Jesus. For in the end, nothing can really bring us meaning and hope and peace and joy except for Jesus. Jesus, therefore, stands up in a courtyard in the temple courts many centuries ago, and He says in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink." Let me help you picture this scene that day to give you the context to better understand this. Jesus was in John, we could see from the context if you read it, He was at the Feast of Pentecost. Okay, there are three major festivals or feasts in the Jewish calendar. Passover, 50 days later, Pentecost, okay, which is we celebrate today. And then in the fall, the Feast of Tabernacles is called. The Feast of Pentecost was a large harvest festival. It was right around the harvest of the wheat in the land of Palestine. And so it was a big Thanksgiving festival for the crops is one part of that. The other part of this festival was the Jewish people, the pilgrims, would gather to Jerusalem throughout the world to remember God's special covenant, His treaty that He made with Israel at Mount Sinai through Moses, which included the Ten Commandments, but more than that for the Jews. Lots of laws and ways to live as His people. That's really what they celebrated. They read a lot of passages about that from the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy during this festival. And one of the main rituals of this festival was that a large crowd of pilgrims gathered down near the Pool of Siloam at the very bottom of the sacred hill of Mount Zion, outside of the temple courts area. And there a priest was with them. And this Pool of Siloam, by the way, was a source, a spring that brought fresh water up through various aqueducts up to Jerusalem for the people to drink ever since the time of King David. And there they would gather these pilgrims with a priest who would go down to the Pool of Siloam with a golden pitcher and take some of that water out of the Pool of Siloam. And then in great festivity and singing and joy, they would have this processional back up into the temple. Joyful trumpet blast greeted the water processional. Beaming choirs sang, we are told from Isaiah 12:3, which says, with joy we draw water from the wells of salvation. And the priest, with great ceremony, poured the water over a rock in the temple that they believed that Abraham offered up his son Isaac under God's command as a sacrifice before God stopped him centuries before. The same ritual was repeated every day for the 7 days of the Feast of Pentecost. And it was very important to the people. They were filled with such joy and anticipation because it not only was a ritual to ask God to continually give them rain for their crops, that was part of it, but really it had to do with their longing for God to send the Messiah. We are told from various, especially texts, Jewish texts from the day, that the rabbis during this festival would quote from Ezekiel chapter 47 and Joel chapter 3 and teach about God's promise of the coming Messiah. And we have some of the words they used to teach. They said this during this festival. God sent Moses to save us in that desert. Moses split the rock and out flowed water. Just so God will send the Messiah, the Anointed One. The Messiah's life-giving water will pour out. For God's word stands written, a spring of life-giving water will stream out from the house of the Lord. So it is in this context, around this festival, around this almost certainly ritual concerning water, that Jesus stands up on the seventh and the final day of the feast, we're told. Seven is God's number in the Bible. It's symbolic of God's perfection, His holiness, and His fulfillment of His plan. So that's, I think, done for a reason. Jesus is saying He is the fulfillment of all their desires. He is the fulfillment of all these prophecies talking about the water of life coming forth from God's presence to bring salvation to His people. And that's why He stands up in the crowd that day in the midst of this festival and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. As Jesus often says throughout the Gospels, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. He's telling the people that long for the coming of the Messiah to quench their spiritual thirst, that here he is, come to me and I will quench that thirst. Like he says when he weeps over Jerusalem, as I so often, O Jerusalem, would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. I always want you to come to me for life, but you would not. He is the only one who could fill us with the water of life, the water of grace and forgiveness. He wishes to pour out this water of life into our empty, broken vessels. We simply confess our sins, trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and know that we have forgiveness and life. John tells us in the second verse of our text, or the last verse, that Jesus also connects this life-giving water with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who comes, as He promises, to fill our hearts that we might then receive the water of life, which is truly Jesus as our late Lord and Savior. Just as Moses once split the rock, and out of the rock in the desert for his thirsting people came water to give them refreshment, so Jesus, on a rock or hill called Golgotha, outside of Jerusalem, was lifted up on a cross. And out of His wounds is poured out life-giving water for each of us. It's interesting that St. John in his gospel later on about Jesus' crucifixion tells us that a soldier, to make sure Jesus is dead, thrust a spear into his side and out pours water and blood. Doctors talk about the separation of the blood cells and all this. They can explain it, medically. But John's going to pick this up actually in Peter later in their letters and kind of refer back to that. For them, it's symbolic as well of through his blood, and here comes the water of life that covers people and then it refreshes people, that brings people to God. This was proof that Jesus was dead, this spear thrust into him, but also It shows us that God's plan is fulfilled in the cross of Christ. There he took our sins away, we are told. There he takes away the just punishment for our sin as he's forsaken by the Father on our behalf. There he gives us peace with God. He frees us from the grasp of Satan that we might now receive him as Lord and Savior, that we might have our thirst quenched, not by all the other things in the world, not by even using the good gifts of God in the wrong way, but simply by receiving him as Lord and Savior. He who has risen now from the dead has sealed the deal for us. And therefore, we are, by grace, the children of God. And the continuing good news of Pentecost is that he says he continually pours out his Holy Spirit upon us. We're told throughout the rest of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit continually comes to us to connect us with Jesus. That's his task. He's like a big finger pointing us to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He comes to us in the waters of baptism. Paul calls it in Titus a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's what he calls baptism. The Holy Spirit's active there in the waters to connect us with Christ. We are told that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And we're told that the Scriptures are full of God's very words. The Holy Spirit uses them to connect us with Jesus again and to then instruct us on how to live for him. And as we come today, the Holy Spirit connects us again with Jesus under bread and wine, connects us there that we might be quenched and that we might then be equipped to now be vessels, to be funnels, I guess. That's a better word. To be funnels for his grace to others. We all start out like empty vessels needing water. God, through Christ, fills those vessels up that we might have meaning, fullness, completion in him. And now he kind of makes us like funnels. But the mystery is, we never go dry. As we keep sharing Jesus with others, his love by word and deed, the Holy Spirit keeps on filling us up so we never, our level never goes down. Jesus is always there for us that we can then funnel that love to others in word and deed. Dear friends, are you thirsty? Come to Jesus and drink. Drink deeply, trusting in him as Lord and Savior, and then, by God's grace, funnel that good news to others as you befriend people for Jesus' sake, as you invite them to church, as you share your faith, as you pray for people, as you meet their needs the best you can, that they too might know Jesus is the living water who quenches our thirst. In his precious name.